You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
7 minutes after 10, welcome to the second hour of the Monday edition of our show. Obviously, it's very speculative at this stage. We have no idea what the career inside Parliament and government may or may not be of one Brian Molefe. But we do know that Brian Molefe, of course, is due to be sworn in as a member of Parliament unless something happens between the news cycle, having churned out that fact, and the actual swearing in. That should happen with sometime this week, I would imagine. So it's a speculative question. If, and it's a big if he were to be seconded to the executive as a minister or deputy minister, finance, energy, some other portfolio, would that be a good thing or would that be a bad thing? What do you think? Give us a call and have your say on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Joining me for this conversation are two guests that I have. The first is Siko Nati Manchanza, who, of course, is the deputy editor of the Financial Mail and a writer for Business Day. Siko Nati, thank you so much for joining us.
Greetings, Eusebius.
And we are also joined by the director for the Center for Economic Development and Transformation, Duma Qubule. How's it, Duma?
Hi, Eusebius. How are you?
I've never been better, my friend. Thanks for making time for us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
Siko Nati, I'm going to start with you. And I've already said, obviously, it's a very speculative question. Let me not even ask the question of the day, which is, would he be a great finance minister? Before Babeswe Gupta was crying on national television as a business writer, if someone from outside the country were to say to you, my friend, in 30 seconds, what is your take on the technical competency of this man in terms of the different positions he has held in business, what would your pricey answer have been, Siko Nati?
Eusebius, I would obviously say that is a great man technically, and he's very well experienced, he's well educated, he's held every job he has held, he's done a good job there. So that is, let me qualify myself, up until 2010, when he left the PIC, I would have no doubt pointed at Brian Molefe and said, that is the man, that is one great executive that the new South Africa has produced.
Okay. Duma, would you share that?
Technically, there could be an argument that could be made for Brian Molefe, but I would argue that ideologically, it's another issue. I think that he is a treasury man through and through. He was, in Treasury, Eusebius, there is a certain brainwashing that happens to everybody that works there. They suddenly become magically converted to a certain way, the neoliberal right-wing way of understanding the economy. So I think that given Brian's background in Treasury and everything that he has said since, I don't think he's the right person to take the finance minister's position. And the other reason for that is that I think that the people who are wanting Pravin Gordhan out, and I agree he must go out, he's been a very bad finance minister for the country. I don't think they're wanting this change for the same reasons that I want this change, if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's a lot that you've said there that is controversial, Duma. Let's actually let's start with Pravin. There's a lot of uncritical attitude toward Pravin. I saw you tweet the other day that actually the current minister has been far from great. What did you mean by that? Unpack it for us a little bit.
Okay, Eusebius, I come from the old school of journalism where a tweet cannot become newsworthy, but that's another story. Let's look at the economy. We have a crisis.
Are you regretting your tweet?
No, I'm not regretting it. I'm just saying that the old school, the tweet can't be cut, but that's another story.
Okay, now justify your tweet for us because you've got more than 140 characters now.
Okay, first of all, South Africa is facing a crisis of collapsing GDP growth and rising unemployment. Mm. Since December 2008, now Pravin has been in charge for the better part of 7 years, except 15 months when Tranjaneni was in charge. Now, our economy during that period has grown by 1.6% a year over the last 8 years until the end of last year. And in particular, terms, it has grown by 0.3% per capita. Now, in economics, that is the economic equivalent of standing still. Now, on top of that, our unemployment has grown by 3 million people since December 2008. We now have 9 million unemployed people. The unemployment rate for black Africans is 40.1%. Now, under normal circumstances, if someone has been in charge with such a pathetic record of the economy, most people would agree that that person should leave. Now, obviously, Pravin is part of a collective of the ANC, but there's a lot of individual agency about his role at National Treasury in terms of the economic directions. And I would argue as well that the policies implemented by Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank are the main reason for our crisis of collapsing GDP growth and rising unemployment, and not the global financial crisis. Because the global financial crisis happened almost a decade ago, Eusebius. We can't still be talking about the global financial crisis.
Before I bring Sekonati back, I want you to give more precise evidence. You say that Treasury has a role to play, even if we discount the fact that there's an economic cluster that takes joint responsibility for some of our economic indices. What are the individual Treasury policies, individual decisions attributable specifically to Pravin in his ministry that are the reasons for your overall view, Duma?
Okay, now if you look at after the global financial crisis, there was a brief recovery until for the first few years after the crisis. And then when the austerity program started at Treasury and the interest rate hikes at the South African Reserve Bank, those have been the main reasons for us getting back into the downturn where we are at the moment. And as the economic austerity has intensified, our economic growth has collapsed. And so what you've seen, especially last year, is that government consumption spending over the last 2 years has gone down quite significantly. And that has contributed to the rising unemployment.
Yes. Okay. We'll get back to Brian in a second. But Sekonati, it's an interesting take from Duma about the current Minister of Finance, who, of course, is all the rage when it comes to civil society, when it comes to the average Joe. Do you share Duma's view that, in fact, it's probably at best a mixed bag if one had to evaluate Minister Pravin Gordhan's role inside the economic cluster?
Mr. Gubule's criticism is absolutely spot on, except in my humble opinion, he's directing it at the wrong person. The person who should be exactly be accused and guilty of exactly everything he has said is the president, the head of state, the leader of the government, that has to implement, first decide what these policies are, pro-growth growth policies, and implement them. National Treasury only works through a certain mechanism that has been agreed to by the ruling party, by the government. Now this government has had no vision for the past 8 years. It's just living from day to day. And the job of the finance minister has really been to keep expenditure on track. Mr. Kubula is correctly talking about a drop in consumption expenditure by the government. What he has also not said is that the government has also not invested at all, other than when it widened the roads and built stadia for the World Cup. Since then, we have seen nothing happening, and it is the economic development department's roles, whatever department that is at this point, since we have so many in the economics cluster. The National Development Plan is sitting somewhere gathering dust, and it is not the finance ministry that should be implementing that. But there is no leadership right at the top, right at the center. President Zuma's government has got no clue how to get this country out of this. Everything Mr. Kubule has said in terms of growth, indeed lack thereof. There's absolutely nothing the finance ministry could have done other than to insist that the monies be spent properly according to the law. They are simply implementing the law, but the government has got no vision, it has got no plan, and that for that the blame lies elsewhere, and it is at the union buildings where the president is. He's got no vision, unfortunately. The finance minister, you could replace Pravin Gordhan and put a dog there, it will still do what he has been doing.
Yo.
Until you have a vision, what it is that you want to spend money on, and you go ahead and spend that. Mm-hmm. Instead, they spend money on things that are not sustainable, mm-hmm. and that is why he's getting he's gotten into trouble with the populists and the Guptarites inside the government.
17 minutes after 10, have your say. Do you agree with my guests, or do you think they're unfair on Pravin? Also, the prospects of potentially having Brian Molefe as a minister or deputizing perhaps to Pravin. 011-883-0702. Give us a call in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. You've heard the voices there and the interesting commentary of Siko Nati Manchanta, who is the deputy editor of Financial Mail and a writer for Business Day, as well as Duma Qubule, who is the director of the Center for Economic Development and Transformation. Indeed, that's the number you can dial and have your say. I'm still joined by Siko Nati from Financial Mail and also, of course, Duma Qubule, who's director, Center for Economic Development and Transformation. Let's take a couple of calls and then I'll give you guys a chance to respond. We've got Marco and Santon. Go ahead, Marco.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I've never been better. What do you want to say?
Okay. Your guest was maintaining the whole lot of issues against Pravin Gordhan, but what he doesn't forget, there have been implementations where, like the FICA laws, which is it closed the markets in order for people to get additional loans in terms of the small markets where people have, basically it's impossible for people to get loans in order to start up new businesses. You've got a hell of a lot of red tape, okay, which also restricts people from getting these in particular loans. You've got another issue with regard to there's no help from government agencies in order to start up new businesses. Can I just think that it's unfair for him to actually blame everything on Pravin Gordhan, where you've got a government who's not stimulating the actual economy by giving the right information, like putting in a minister after firing the previous minister, and Pravin Gordhan had to basically take up his position and get the economy back on track.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Marco. Mark in Centurion, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Eusebius. Look, it always astounds me the level of ignorance that we have in this country. Sorry. If you want to compare any economy of any country to a normal company where you have a CEO who's sitting on top and you've got the board of directors below them and you've got the financial directors, it is quite obvious that the board of directors are the ones who make policy for sales, for development, for manufacturing, whatever. They have to come up with a policy. The financial director in the company only has to make sure that he sticks to the budgets and what each department base is allowed for and make sure that they spend it correctly. And this is the same in South Africa with any sort of government. Ministers like water affairs, trade and industry, labor, they must sort out the policy. And for that, the president, Jacob Zuma, has to appoint the right people. Obviously, this is not happening. We don't have the right policy. And in the end, Pravin Gordhan doesn't want to waste, or concede he doesn't want to waste the money, a little bit that we have left, on these white elephant projects instead of going for the basics and these straightforward contracts and projects. And actually, what the second caller actually said, to go after the right policy, that's where it actually starts. It's not up to Pravin Gordhan to make policy for the economy. He's only controlling the finances to make sure they get spent correctly. So the second caller is 100% right when he says that the government, unfortunately, has got no idea, no vision, no plan on how to actually get this going. And until that happens, Pravin Gordhan is 100% correct in not releasing any sort of purse strings.
I just want to ask you a quick question, Mark. I think you'll be hard. It will be very difficult for you to find someone who will still bet for JZ in this country. I think we all agree the buck stops with him. But here's my question back to you in turn. Are there no KPIs by which you want to evaluate Pravin Gordhan or anyone else who's in that position?
Ultimately, look, I'm a shareholder in my own company, and the KPIs for our financial director is that we all sit there, we all got our task, and ultimately we're running to a budget, and it depends ultimately how that budget is controlled. The financial director obviously must make sure that the accounts and everything is run correctly, but But also, if he overspends on certain budgets, again, all this is auditable in the end through reports and spreadsheets and balance sheets. And ultimately, when we go to our accountants at the end of the year, he must be responsible towards our accountants that our taxes get paid and so on. And those are very actual KPIs that you can measure in the end.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Mark. Nkosi Nathi?
Hi, Yusuf. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
All good, man. I think we all agree, as you correctly pointed out, that not a lot of people can bet for Jay-Z today. However, I think there's this notion that always comes up, that Treasury seems to be some isolated department somewhere which is not part of government. Yes, all of these guys are part and parcel of government, and they have to have KPIs. And also, they need to play part, or I'd like to believe that they are also part and parcel of policymaking in the economic cluster. So we can't honestly say that Praveen, therefore, should be treated differently from any other member of the government. So my point is, let us treat everybody the same. We are all in this trouble together. But the more we keep on saying, the problem is Jay-Z, the problem is Jay-Z, how do we get ourselves out of this? The people that are deployed, including Praveen and his colleagues, we need to work together to find a solution.
Okay, thanks for that, Nkosi Nathi. Tuma, your response? Some callers also on Twitter pushing back against Praveen as an important site of our troubles. I think more people convinced by Sikho Nathi making the circle of criticism bigger to indict government.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to agree with Sikho Nathi. The first thing is that there has been a collapse in government capital spending. And that is a major reason for the growth collapse that we're seeing. Mm. But unlike the Konaki, that is not a function that sits with economic development. Investment decisions of government are treasury first and foremost. And second issue I'd like to agree with Konaki, the government is responsible for setting the overall policy. But let us remember that the treasury, let us remember that we have a huge economic crisis, the worst post-apartheid economic crisis, and neither the ANC or the DA or the EFF have come up with a vision of how to get out of this crisis in the short term. So that's the second issue. Now, in terms of the role of the finance ministry, back to Marco. You know, Marco, one of the issues that happened now is that Treasury has starved the development finance institutions from funding. The National Empowerment Fund has got zero funding ever since it started operating. So what I'm trying to say, so those loans to small business, they have been strangled because of the Treasury policy of austerity. Now, I think we should talk about the way forward, as people are talking about. I don't want to say who's responsible, but the Minister of Finance is not just an accounting, a bookkeeper. Mm. He is also a head of the economic cluster in practice. And second of all, the Minister of Finance is... Treasury in South Africa is a super ministry, let's be honest. All the policy, important policies on the economy have come from Treasury and not the collective. The GEAR policy in 1996 was developed by 13 economists, not only one of whom was a South African. The ASGISA policy of the early 2000s was developed by Harvard economists, and not a single person in the ANC or elsewhere had seen that policy at this time. So what I'm trying to say is that you can't absolve the finance minister for his responsibility in not putting forward a vision for this country to get out of the crisis of unemployment. Our crisis is serious, and we can't have a finance minister for the past 7 years. All he has contributed nothing to the economic debate of how to get out of this crisis that we're in. All he has said, we can't afford, we can't afford, we can't afford. That is not a policy. So I would like to talk about going forward.
And okay, just hold on before we do that, Tuma. I want to see whether Sikho Nathi agrees with your last point. And I think that's an important segue into the next topic, Sikho Nathi.
I just want to make quick...
Hold on, Tuma, my friend. I will give you plenty of time. Just relax. Sikho Nathi, would you agree with Duma's description of the real power that the ministry has, contrary to what Marco and Mark and a couple of the other callers were saying?
Eusebius, again, I shall respectfully disagree with Mr. Qubule on that. Let's look at the facts here. In 2008, the government's debt to GDP stood at 28%. Today, we are at 50%. Pravin has indeed opened the taps, and the money was taken from international institutions. We borrowed a whole lot of money, and that money was abused by his colleagues in cabinet, investing in things like Ngandla, for example, and the ballooning of expenditure at Eskom without the benefit that we paid for. So the finance ministry has opened the tap. Look at the government expenditure on salaries. 60% of 1.2 trillion rand budget that the finance ministry presents, it goes to salaries of civil servants. We have doubled the number of people that work for the government without actually doubling their output. And Mr. Kubule pointed out that we've grown at 1.6%. Actually, we have grown at about 1.2% on average for the past 7 to 8 years. But the government instead played the role of employment agency itself, hiring so many more people without actually them having any role that could be seen by us, at least from outside. The wage bill has more than doubled. It takes up now about 60% of a 1 trillion rand budget. The finance ministry has opened the taps. Look at the number of people employed by the government, comparing now to 2008, for example, and look at our debt, the government's debt to GDP. That is money that was made available to the government by the finance ministry. Does not matter which minister it was. Mm. The fact of the matter is that money has been abused and has been lost to the taxpayer, abused and that's why the finance ministry, any guy that comes in there will be very unpopular if they go ahead and do what the Public Finance Management Act requires them to do.
Okay, let's hold it there for 1 second.
Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
Daryl, good morning.
Hi Eusebius, very good show you got today.
Thanks, and thanks for your patience. What do you want to say on this one?
I was just saying we have a very funny way in South Africa of looking at things, especially the youth league. If you remember when Botswana was doing so well and they wanted to go and raid Botswana for some reason, other than them doing well, I'm not sure. And now that the one minister that's literally doing his job properly is the target until they get rid of him. The outside world looks at it as a very, very poor showing. As a lot of people have said, we run like companies these days, the country. And when you show that you're going after your one person who's doing his job properly, like many, I think we'll need to start at Lotto to see where the rand's going to go if they get rid of Gordon.
But to be fair, in Duma, and he'll answer for himself definitely without my help in a second, Daryl. He certainly is not on a slate Zuma in this conversation. Isn't there any space for someone to be both disappointment with government as a whole, and also to have a critical attitude towards Minister Pravin Gordhan? I mean, we seem to have media and public discourse darlings in South Africa as well.
Well, I think, in all fairness, if he was given a proper chance to run his job properly, I think he could do it better. But I think all he's doing is crossing his legs in hopes that we'll have enough money to avoid the next drop to junk status. I don't know how he managed it twice.
Okay, fair enough. KGM, your take? KGM has lost his or her voice. Let's go to Munya. Hello, Munya.
Hi, good morning, Eusebius.
Go ahead.
I'd like to just agree with your guest. You know, there's this misnomer in South Africa that the Minister of Finance is simply a bean counter who deals with our credit rating. Mm. What we haven't seen from Gordon this time round or the previous time he was Minister of Finance is a dynamic fiscal policy that encourages growth in our economy. You know, everywhere else in the world, after the recession, they realized that expansionary policy with pumping money into the economy, infrastructure, that's the way to boost your economy. But for some reason, austerity and belt tightening is what we've chosen in South Africa. So I, for one, am quite encouraged that if someone like Brian Molefe comes in with his track record at the PIC, we might actually start seeing some fresh ideas. The Minister of Finance is not just a bean counter. Thank you.
Okay. Sikonati, you're going to leave us soon, so I'm going to go with you first. And I want to ask you this question. Let's imagine, I don't know why, there was a vacancy on Friday night forthcoming for Minister of Finance. What for you, both as a business writer and as a citizen of this country who's engaged in discourse, would be the key characteristics that you would want in the next finance minister? And then second part to the question, 400 marks, do you think Brian Molefe will meet whatever it is you're going to say to the first part?
Let me answer the last question first. Brian Molefe, as I pointed out earlier, is a very competent and qualified person. That was up until 2010, when he was still chief executive officer of the PIC. Even that was not without its own faults. But since then, he's been compromised beyond redemption in terms of being trusted with managing the public's tax money. Technically, he's superb. He's exactly the kind of person we have. But there was that period when when Thabo Mbeki's government. Let's take a step back. Brian Molefe was one of the best technocrats in the government under Thabo Mbeki and Nelson Mandela's governments, growing up in the PIC and indeed climbing the ladder correctly. So, what then happened when Thabo Mbeki lost power? Brian Molefe found himself on the wrong side of politics, and was iced out, and he then resigned as chief executive of the PIC. He spent 6 months there. He spent 6 months in obscurity, where he sat at Investec offices here in Sandton, in a low profile job. And knowing Brian as we have come to know him, he's not the kind of job for him. He spent 6 months at Investec, and he didn't like any of it. I'm informed by people who are in the know that he had to go apologize to someone, because remember the PIC will always be in the same position as the finance minister, always getting accused of refusing to fund deals, and those deals happen to be the deals chosen by the people in charge at the time, but those don't always conform to what the law demands, or indeed sustainable and proper investments. So he, after turning down the current comrades, the ones in charge now, after turning enough of their projects down as chief of the PIC, he found himself in the wilderness, and he had to go, I'm informed, reliably so, he had to go apologize to someone, and that someone was at the Union Buildings in 2010, was at Luthuli House in 2010, and it is then that he was introduced to the Guptas. That's when the slide in terms of his standing started, when he got involved in all those things that featured Eskom 916 times in the State of Capture report, Brian Molefe's own name 74 times. But that's just half the story. The biggest in the State of Capture report, everything that Transnet has been mentioned for is everything that Brian did since he became chief executive in 2011. He introduced the Guptas to Transnet and all their associate, and he took them through to Eskom, and then he resigned in tears, because he said, correctly so, that he had been accused of corruption by the in the State of Capture report, and he said he was leaving to clear his name. Has he cleared his name? Not yet. He has not yet cleared his name from all the accusations and allegations that were made in the State of Capture report by the public protector. He correctly decided that he's not to be in charge of an institution like Eskom, and indeed any executive authority in this country, as far as I'm concerned. So this is not the time for Brian Molefe to be ascending to any higher role. He should be clearing his name, as he promised when he resigned in tears after he told about the Sexton World Tribune.
Sekonati, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed your input.
Thank you, sir.
Duma, I want to throw it back to you. You can respond to any of the conversation since I last halted you. And then I'd like you to segue into this question. What then would be the ideal traits in the next finance minister? And then measure Brian Molefe for me against that list.
Okay, first of all, I just want to answer something that Konaki talked about. He talked about the rising government debt since the global financial crisis. Now, nowhere in the world, in most cases, is rising government debt as a percentage of GDP the result of overspending. In this case, it was not a result of overspending. It happened in 1 year, in 2009, when there was a collapse in tax revenue, which resulted in a deficit rising, number one. So it wasn't overspending. And then the second issue is that subsequent to that, it was not due to overspending, the rise of the government debt. It was due to the collapsing GDP growth. So what we're having in South Africa is a collapse of GDP growth is the center of our problems. And I believe that we have to come up with something in the short term to get out of this crisis. Now, the last thing I'd like to say is that when Konaki talks about the rise in government employment, it might have happened... it's not that it wasn't rising during the period that I'm talking about, which is since the global the last 2 years. So that is what's relevant to me at the moment. Yeah. So what I'm saying in terms of getting out of this thing, I think South Africans must now start. We need a finance minister who's going to change the philosophy, what the previous speaker was saying, the ideology in terms of economic policy as to how we're going to get that growth. And I believe that since economics was invented 100 years ago, there has been no other way of getting out of the situation that we are in except to increase government spending. So I would argue that we need an emergency fiscal stimulus in the budget. I would say we need a stimulus for about 400 billion rands, which is 3% of GDP a year, to get our economy growing. And I believe that we have a low debt to GDP ratio, and we can take on more debt, but there are other ways in which we can do this stimulus. Yeah. One of the issues that I believe we could do, the South African Central Bank can purchase more government debt, as happens in other countries. It's called quantitative easing. The second issue that we could do, we could liquidate some of the assets in the PIC. The level of funding in that public investment corporation is obscene for a country with such high levels of unemployment. If you had to get rid of 400 billion rands of PIC assets and put them into the economy to build schools, roads, and hospitals, it wouldn't affect the solvency of this PIC. So that is what I'm saying. I really believe that, and then we could also redirect consumption spending towards capital spending. You will remember, Eusebius, the last time the country grew in the early 2000s, I'm looking at the figures here, we had double-digit growth in capital spending. Investment is what drives the growth of the economy. But what's happened in the last few years is that government has now cut investment spending, and that has had a knock-on effect on private investment spending. And I think the only way through that, and the last thing I want to say, Eusebius, we have to talk about the South African Reserve Bank. The South African Reserve Bank has been increasing interest rates while unemployment has been increasing. There is no precedent for that anywhere in the world. And I believe part of this emergency package you must do is you must put an escape clause for the South African Reserve Bank and then allow them to cut rates to get us out of the situation while we work on changing its mandate to include growth and employment. Now, let me just say that the Federal Reserve in the United States has got a twin mandate to look at growth and unemployment. Mm. And they have recovered properly from the global financial crisis because that is what they did, yeah.
Do you think that Brian Molefe understands these dynamics that you've just described?
I think Brian understands these dynamics, but I don't think he has a different ideological orientation to the people in Treasury. I'd like to see an outsider who is not from Treasury, because Treasury has got a certain institutional culture, and it requires somebody from outside Treasury to fix the rot that has happened in Treasury. Yeah.
Fantastic. Duma, thank you so much for your time. It was really a great pleasure having you on the show. I hope you'll have you on again.
Thank you so much, Eusebius.
Cheers. That was Duma Qubule, Director, Center for Economic Development and Transformation. Let's take a break and then hear more from you on 011-883-0702. Have your say. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What do you want to say, Peter, about Brian? Do you think he's the right person potentially to be the next, I don't know, member of cabinet?
Let me start off, Eusebius, with the issue about him going to parliament. Because I, as I understand it, if he goes to Parliament, he might be made a minister. The issue for me is our Parliament has got to be the highest policy body of our country, the highest decision maker in our country about the direction of the country. And therefore, you'll expect to have people in Parliament who are very, very ethical. For me, Brian, and by the way, I was a director at Transnet when we appointed Brian. I don't have any question much about how clever he is. Mm. The issue is he left Transnet under a cloud. Until that cloud is cleared, I actually believe prudence and ethics will require that we shy away from making a member of Parliament until that cloud is removed.
What was that cloud? Well, describe it for us. Take us back.
Well, it was it was all around my understanding. It was all around the public protector's report, around the state of capture, and it looked like he was fingers were pointed at him, and the ethical issues, because a lot of us will actually say, "You are innocent until proven guilty," but on an ethical thing. If there are question marks, you don't do it. Because we'll actually be saying something as a country if we do that.
Okay, we've just lost Peter there, but he thinks there's a cloud over the head of Brian Molefe. Let's go to Nayo and Joba. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good day, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good, thank you. I'll start by saying I think both Gordon and Brian are two sides of the same coin. What do I mean by that? Both of them do not represent the interest of the South African population. I'm of the view that there are competing global forces in the financial system, which is the East and the West, Gordon being the one representing the West, and then Molefe representing the East. As to the integrity of both of both Brian and Molefe, that is a question that I would like to deal with another day. For now, my comment is that both of them do not represent the interest of South Africa. Yeah, the one is East, the other is West. And then I think Jacob Zuma is going about this through the wrong way. He's trying to entangle us as South Africa from the clashes of the Western control, which I commend him for.
So then what do we... Okay, in your world, Neo, I mean, you describe Brian and Pravin in melodramatic terms as East and West. What do we need, according to Neo, in a Minister of Finance right now?
I think what we need is someone as a Minister of Finance, someone with highest form of integrity. Regarding the knowledge of economics, yes, it is essential, but it is not critical. I would say, get someone of Tulima Donzela's caliber.
I am now she must do everything. Next thing, we're going to ask her to also be coaching Orlando Pirates.
I'm not saying her, someone in her caliber. You know, someone.
Are you saying that Minister Pravin Gordhan has got less understanding of finance, the economy, political economy? Hold on, than someone like Tulima Donsela? Which part of Pravin's track record for you smells of lack of integrity?
No. I'm not saying he's got lack of interest. I'm saying he's beholden to the Western financial system. That is what I'm saying.
Why do you say that? Two questions. What do you mean by that, and what is your evidence?
He's got shares in the banking system, South African banking system.
Really? Where does he have shares?
In all the banking systems.
Where do you get that from?
On the internet.
Please tweet me the link. I'd love to see that as well, so I can ask him about those shares. I wouldn't mind having it on myself. KGM, hello.
Hey, Eusebius, good morning. Good morning to your listener.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, look, before I say my bit, it's interesting how you react to the suggestion, even though I wouldn't agree with it, but...
KJM, you've got 60 minutes. I suggest you use it however you want, but here's some friendly advice. Don't play Dr. Phil. Launch into your argument.
How you react to Lima Donzela's suggestion, and you don't see anything wrong with the recycling of Brian Molefe with all these positions. But here's the point.
You're obviously listening with half your ear closed. I don't know which part of anything I said in this hour is an endorsement of Brian Molefe. My point is, Tuli Madonsela can't be used everywhere you have a problem in society. She's not God. She's not a magician.
Neither did I say that. I mean, I'm saying...
You've got 20 seconds. What do you want to say on the key issue of the day? Yeah, Brian Molefe, good idea, bad idea?
You said this, you're taking much of my time. Give me a chance, even if you don't agree with me. We bought into a system that we didn't understand. And whether we bring Brian Molefe or even anybody that we can raise from the dead, the point is, do we understand the system, the economic system? Is it suitable to our socioeconomic? I don't think so. I think we should have started from scratch. We had that opportunity during pre-talks and the talks to the new dispensation. We ignored that because we knew some of us would be beneficial.
KJM, we've run out of time. It's the only reason I'm cutting you, not because I don't want to hear what you have to say, but there's a lesson in there. Forget the psychologizing and just make an argument. Put your view, make an argument. Now we've run out of time.